Episode 19 of IBC Podcast.
Welcome to the Integrated Bilingual Counseling Podcast, where you will learn topics related to your well-being, emotions, marriage, relationships, parenting, immigration, and more. And now your host, Jose Villafuerte, and co-host, Myra Aguirre.
And hello, my friends. Hoping that everybody is doing okay. I'm Jose Villafuerte, the host of this year's weekly podcast show here at Integrated Bilingual Counseling. And next to me is Myra Aguirre, our co-host. How are you, Myra?
I'm doing well. I hope that everybody enjoys our podcast for today.
And this is a very special podcast episode because we have invited Dr. Lynn Clark. He's a PhD in psychology. He's also the author of a couple of books. But the one that we're going to be focused on today is SOS, Help for Parents. And the topic of today is how to help young children to improve their behavior. And this is for children ages 2 and 12. So without any further ado, I'll give you the interview with Dr. Lynn Clark. And here we are, my friends. We are with Dr. Lynn Clark. And Dr. Clark, thank you very much for taking the time to do this. And we just want to introduce your bio. Maida is going to help us with that. Go ahead, Maida.
Hi, we have the pleasure of having Dr. Lynn Clark with us. He's a clinical psychologist who is from Kentucky. He is a professor in Western Kentucky University and has also taught in Boston University. Dr. Clark has an extensive professional experience in community mental health, hospitals, counseling centers, and community agencies. He is also listed in the National Register of Health Service Providers in Psychology. Dr. Clark is also using all the methods of his, well, used all his methods of behavior management with his two sons.
And by the way, Dr. Clark, I have a question for you. Well, first of all, is there anything else that you'd like to add to your bio?
Yes, Professor Emeritus, that means retired but still active, Western Kentucky University in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Also, I have two sons, but now seven grandchildren.
Oh, wow.
And my sons have used many of these techniques on their children, who are my grandchildren.
Amazing. Congratulations on the grandchildren and glad that your sons are using all these methods, which are great and very helpful, you know, to
I might mention
that.
Too, that the methods in SOS Help for Parents are applicable, work in many different cultures. The book has been translated into 18 languages.
Wow.
So just around the world. And then the methods that are in the book have been verified clinically and in research, and I have used methods for 50 years.
It is amazing, and we got to say that one of the languages that this book has been translated is Spanish. And we use this book, and we run some workshops here at Integrated Bilingual Counseling using these techniques, which parents have found that very helpful. So thank you very much for, you know, writing these books. It's an amazing job that you've done.
Also, the book has been in English and Spanish, and also there are video parent training programs that accompany the book, both in English and in Spanish.
That's correct. Yes, there's a lot of materials that are helpful, not just for the parents, but also for the clinicians that teach this material. So, Dr. Clark, let's jump right into the topic. And the topic of today is how to help young children to improve their behavior. So how do we go by doing this, Dr. Clark?
Well, behavior is learned. Good and bad behavior are both learned. And bad behavior can be unlearned. And you can replace bad behavior with adaptive, desirable behavior. Now, a shorthand term of talking about behavior is to label behavior that you want as a parent that's desirable. Let's call that good behavior. In SOS, the book and video program, there are three rules for helping your child to grow out of emotional and behavioral problems, and also four errors. And I have noted these as I have worked with parents and children over the years. like error one is failing to reward good behavior. It's very important to reward good behavior. Now, the best rewards are called social rewards, which are approval, recognition, attention, saying, I liked what you did. And that's the most powerful kind of reward. And many parents omit doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like a lot of times we focus more on paying attention to the negative behaviors and not really recognize the good behavior, as you mentioned, correct?
That's right. When you see good behavior, there are three different kinds of rewards you can give children. Social rewards, rewards, approval, interest, attention, and activity rewards, like maybe helping to make cookies, and material rewards, like a doll for a child or a baseball glove. However, the social rewards are the best. And also, it's very important, don't accidentally reward bad behavior. That's, parents are doing this all the time, that they will accidentally reward bad behavior with attention.
Can you give us an example of a bad behavior, please?
Well, when we're in the checkout line at the grocery store and a child grabs a candy bar without permission and screams and hollers, and the mother often will scold the child, but then what does she do? She lets him keep the candy bar. So he now has a material reward for having the tantrum. He also gets his mother's attention, and he gets power over mother. So she might think that she's punished her son for grabbing a candy bar in the checkout line. But in fact, she has rewarded that behavior. And she'll get more and more of it as time passes.
Right. So it sounds like the mother is getting frustrated because the kid is screaming and yelling. In the end, she gives in and rewards that bad behavior. That's what we're talking about, correct?
That's exactly right. And that's my favorite error that parents make. I call that error three, accidentally rewarding bad behavior. And we see it all the time. If the child does something like dump food out at the table, a two-year-old, and everyone laughs, then that behavior, dumping food out at the table, gets rewarded with attention. And that behavior will be harder and harder to reduce in the future.
Right. So a couple of questions here. So the first one is going back to the mother that is at the grocery store with the kid that is yelling and screaming because he wants that piece of candy. What should be the right approach from that parent?
Okay. What is that parent to do? Be sure the child does not keep the candy bar. Endure the screaming and yelling and tantrum of the child. Other parents will say, well, she's a bad mother. But she is enduring him yelling, and she would be causing problems for herself and her child if she gives in and allows that son to keep the candy bar. So it might be that you would take the child across the store and ignore the tantrum behavior until it stops. But above all, don't give in.
Okay, so the message is don't give him, don't let him get away with it, and just endure the bad behavior. That's what it sounds like.
That's right. We don't have to punish the behavior. What we're going to do is not reward it. So not rewarding behavior is a powerful method of getting behavior change.
So then when you get home with this kid, do you do anything? Do you punish him at all? Or how do you go by it?
Oh, I might say I'm really disappointed the way you hollered at the grocery store. And I think that we will both do better the next time we go. So I probably would not punish when we get home. And I would focus, I did the right thing by not rewarding the behavior at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you just have a conversation with your child and you said, I'm disappointed about the behavior, but I think we can do better next time we go to the grocery store.
And that is, that's called mild disapproval or mild scolding.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my question here, and this is more from a psychological point of view. So what happens when we accidentally reward bad behaviors? What happens in the child's brain?
Getting emotionally upset gets attention, and it will cause a loss of control in the child. The child will learn to get attention, to get what he wants. He will then lose control and he'll get what he wants. And that is really unfortunate when this happens with the child. Mm-hmm. It's not so much what happens in the brain. I focus on what happens with the behavior and on being sure that I've managed the behavior correctly. I'd like to mention too, when you're helping your child to grow out of behavior problems, you're also helping the child to get emotional control and emotional resilience. So we're not focusing just on behavior, but we're also enhancing emotional control. And we definitely want that in children.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. We want emotional resilience and also focus on behavior. But the question, I guess, where I was coming from is I just wanted to get a better understanding how children process this type of messages when our parents are, or when the parents are rewarding bad behaviors. And we got to say that this podcast episode is focused on young children ages 2 and 12. So I imagine that the message that children get is, if I throw a tantrum and my mom is giving me attention, the next time I do it, I'm going to be successful at it.
That's right. The child, what is the child's self-talk? And I'm a big believer in self-talk that adults and children have. And I think the self-talk of the child in that situation is, I'll have to get really upset before I get what I want. And then mother will give me what I want. And he really feels that he has it coming to him, that he should get what he wants. When he becomes an adult, he or she might believe that they have to get very upset in order to get the attention of other people and to get what they want.
Got it. So this is something that perpetuates even later as an adult. You're going to grow with this idea that, you know, if you misbehave, you're going to get basically what you want.
It is two major behavior problems with children that are related to growing up maladjusted is child noncompliance, not complying, being out of control, and torturing, abusing other people or animals. Those are the two behaviors that parents need to get on. And of course, the most common is noncompliance. And they need to focus on helping their child to mind when they ask the child to do something.
Yes, it sounds like the help that needs to come from the parents is to help them adapt to new behaviors. But the adaptive behaviors is not only necessary on the children, it also sounds like it is necessary that happens on the parents. Is that correct?
Yes, and I'd like to emphasize the importance of parents being good models for their children. You want the parents to model self-controlled behavior. And when the parent's upset about something, it's still important to be a good model. For example, if the parent gets upset with someone else or with their own child, it's important that they maintain control and not yell and scream. And if they yell and scream and spank, then what they are teaching their child is that this is the way you get people to comply with what you want. And so be a good model for your children, especially when you are very upset with someone or your life situation.
Jesus, I mean, it sounds easy to do, but I know by my own experience, I'm a parent of two, that is not an easy thing to do. How do you maintain your composure, you know, especially when you are mad at your kids for something that they did? How do you go by doing that?
Let's say you're at home and the child does something that just greatly angers you. Walk off to another room and ignore your child. Do not immediately start yelling and shouting and telling the child how angry you are at what he did. Walk off, and this is very, very important. So take time to yourself. You don't have to handle the behavior right away. You can come back, handle it later.
So basically you're saying give yourself a timeout kind of thing. Wait until you calm down and then address it.
That's right. And I would like to mention too that I'm a big fan of timeout for children, and that when you spank and yell and scream at a child for a particular misbehavior, then that misbehavior, that target behavior, would be a good candidate for timeout if done correctly. And so that's putting the child in a boring, dull place with 10 words or less within 10 seconds, and he stays in timeout for 1 minute for each year of age. And so timeout's a good replacement for yelling and screaming following a particular bad behavior. But a real problem with timeout, parents can make 9 mistakes in using timeout. But that's a topic for perhaps for a whole nother interview.
Absolutely, for another episode. Yes, I agree with you. So going back to the topic, helping young children improve their behavior, it sounds like bad behaviors occur because parents are making mistakes, correct?
That's accidentally making mistakes. We really want to focus on that because parents, they will get very defensive when if we as counselors tell them they're making all of these mistakes and they need to stop doing that. But what I emphasize is that this child has accidentally learned some problem behaviors, and we can help him to unlearn it.
Got it. So what are the other common errors that parents are making accidentally?
Well, mistake number one, parents fail to reward good behavior. When you see your child behaving in a way that you like, it's very important to comment on that. I sure like what you're doing. You did a good job clearing the table and helping daddy. And I really like that. So that's a social reward for helping father clear the table. And it's very important to make very positive comments when you see your child doing things that you like. In fact, one rule of thumb is that for every criticism of your child, you must make five positive comments.
For every criticism of your child, you must find five?
Five positive comments, which means be very stingy with criticisms and be very liberal with positive comments, approval with your children. When you see your child doing something that you like, be sure to reward that, reinforce it with positive comments, and you'll get more and more of that behavior. If your child usually loses control when he can't have a cookie before supper, but then some evening you say you can't have a cookie before supper, he maintains his composure, then be sure you say to that child, "I sure like the way you accepted that the cookie has to wait until after supper." So you find a target behavior you don't like a tantrum, and when that child does display a positive behavior instead of that problem behavior, then make positive comments about that positive behavior.
Doing this kind of tactic with a two-year-old, it should differ a lot from what you're talking about, maybe a 5 or 6-year-old, correct? I'm assuming that for smaller kids, it's a little bit more hard for them to understand what you want of them, right?
Yes, it is harder for the young children to know exactly what you want. The method is the same for different ages, even with spouses. The language you use with the 2-year-old will be at a simpler level than with an 8-year-old. And with an 8-year-old, you'd be more subtle and you'd use different words, but essentially what you're doing is rewarding the good adaptive behavior that you just saw in your child.
Exactly. So basically what you're saying is focus more on the positives than the negatives.
Another error, I call it SOS error 4, parents fail to correct bad behavior when mild correction is indicated. A family had a cat that they were going to give away, and it was in a little cat carrier, and the couple of children were poking sticks at this cat in the cat carrier, and parents never did correct the children. That's like, stop doing that. The cat does not like that. That's what they needed to say. The error they made, they failed to correct that bad behavior. I was walking in a park, and a disabled child came by, and a brother and sister laughed at the child. The parents of the brother and sister never said anything to their children. We don't treat other people that way. Now, they wouldn't say that in front of the child with a disability, but I followed along the path. They never said anything to their children. So their error was failing to correct the bad behavior. And a mild disapproval, a scolding would have been very, very appropriate in that situation.
Mm-hmm. So if the parent doesn't correct the children when that's happening, when they are making that criticism or poking the cat, then the message that they're getting is that they can get away with it. They can continue with those behaviors, correct?
That's right. And I mentioned earlier that being cruel to animals correlates with maladjustment in adult life. And so we really need to help children be kind to animals as well as to other children. If you find your child is emotionally abusing another child, then you need to correct that behavior and be a good model. Be sure you don't badmouth other people, and your child will be listening, and you don't want your child being to model your behavior and then demonstrate bad, rude behavior themselves. So be sure you model the behavior that you want your child to demonstrate, especially when you're emotionally upset. Keep your emotions managed and be a good model for your child. Now, some parents will swear when they hurt themselves, say they miss a nail and hit their finger with the hammer. The child hears the parent swear, and the child then thinks that he or she must then swear when they get hurt. So be a good model for your child at all times, especially when you are upset.
Yes, a lot of work to do for parents. And like you said, I think it goes back to social learning theory, which tells us that we have to be models for our children because our children are watching us. They're observing our behaviors and the tendencies to follow what we do. So you're totally right on it.
That's right. The children model, you want to not expose your child to a lot of bad behavior in movies and in music where they'll be exposed to bad models and they'll pick up that undesirable words themselves and behavior. A lot of what we're talking about is in SOS Help for Parents. The book I wrote, the book talks about the three errors, the four errors that parents often make that you need to avoid and the three rules to follow and exactly how to do that. So parents really have to be focused, mindful on demonstrating good parent behavior.
Now, a question coming from parents' perspective, and we're running out of time, actually. How can parents get a handle of this? How can parents, become a good parent? We're talking about one of the recommendations being a good model, be aware of the common errors that parents make accidentally, and rewarding good behaviors. Is there anything else that you would recommend to parents in order to become better parents?
Oh, I've got 50 things in my book, and there's many important factors. Love is so important, and have very clear objectives, what you want in your child for behavior. Be patient, help your child to grow into adaptive behavior and able to manage his or her emotions. That is so important.
Yes, that's right. And Dr. Clark, where people can find your books?
Amazon. The books go to Amazon, SOS Help for Parents. The book is there in Spanish and English. The video kit for clinicians is also on Amazon and it has the same title as the book. Also at the website, sosprograms.com. Those are two places that parents can get the book. And it's got 100 illustrations in it and cartoons. And it's easy reading. And it has what we've been talking about. And it's based on my 50 years of practice helping parents and on thousands of research studies in helping parents and children.
Yes, and you've done a magnificent job, and the books are very helpful for parents and also for clinicians. So, Dr. Clark, just wanted to thank you very much for taking the time to do this. I know you got to be a busy man, and yet you are dedicating this time for not only for Integrated Bilingual Counseling, but for all the audience that are listening to this podcast show. Thank you very much. We're hoping that this is not going to be the first and the last one. We would like to have you at least once again so we can get, you know, more guidance on these topics. And
I would be glad to talk with you and your listeners.
Thank you very much, Dr. Clark. Mike, is there anything else that you want to add?
I just want to thank Dr. Clark for taking the time to talk to us and for writing this book for parents and also clinicians. It's been very helpful in our practice.
Very good. I'm glad to hear that. The book is used by clinicians around the world because I get a lot of feedback from psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors in Iran even. They've done studies using the video program in Iceland and various countries. So it's very reinforcing, rewarding for me.
Yes, I bet it is. And you planning to write another book or?
Well, I will keep my books and videos updated. That will be my contribution. Also, if people go and want to see video clips, they can go to YouTube and then they search with the word SOS Programs. So once you get into YouTube, search with SOS Programs, and you can see 13 videos, and the videos cover these topics that we have been talking about.
That's right. There you have it, my friends. Different places where you can get all this material. One of them is Amazon.com. The other one is, what was it, Doc? SOS Programs?
www.sosprograms.com.
If you want to get an idea of the videos, go to YouTube. There are different videos, and I've seen those videos and are great, very informational. Dr. Clark, thank you very much for the time, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
So that was our interview with Dr. Lynn Clark. And once again, Dr. Clark, thank you very much for taking the time to educate parents in how to improve children's behavior. We're hoping that you guys enjoyed this episode and found it very informational. Maite, is there anything that you want to add?
I just want to make sure that everybody listens to our podcast and also see if you guys can log into his page and see some of his work also. We use these books as a guide for some of our sessions, and we found it very helpful in our work and as parents as well.
That's right. And also help us spread the word, share these podcast episodes with your friends or with anybody that can actually benefit from this material. And visit our website. Yeah, you can do that at www.ibcpodcast.com. If you're interested in psychotherapy services and you happen to be here in the state of Connecticut, pick up the phone and dial 844-912-9832. You can also visit our website for psychotherapy services at www.integratedbilingualcounseling.com. And this is it for today, Maira. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to IBC Podcast at www.ibcpodcast.com. Regarding the subject covered in this episode, it was provided with the understanding that neither the host, co-host, or guest are rendering legal and clinical or other professional information pertinent to your specific case. If you feel you're in the need of support or services, don't hesitate to look for help. Thank you.